the Holy Ghost, thus signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle yet standeth. The way into the presence of God was not yet made manifest while you're still trimming wicks, making pancakes, offering incense, paying tithes, attending perfect record. Help me out. Help me out. All right, keep going. What? Singing in the choir? Joining. Dinners. Bingo. Festivals. Bake sales. Now, don't anybody mention Bible study. These are works that we do, and we're not finding favor with God. We're finding favor with man on the horizontal level, and that's not any way to get into the... So that all must be removed, or in other words, we've even got to leave the glory of the feast of... Say it. In order to enter the glory of the feast of... And no offense, but Pentecostals cannot become manifest sons of God until they leave the second feast and become more interested in the third experience. And this becomes their goal. Am I making sense to anyone here?
Yes.
Nonetheless, have I found fault with Pentecostals? Absolutely, though there are those who I know will misunderstand. Nonetheless, we find no fault with evangelicals, those are the ones out here, the Pentecostals out here, no fault with any of them because we need it all. We need all seven steps to enter into this one. But you're not going to enter into this one as long as these are still your goal, your prime interest, or having anything to do with thinking that you can find favor with God by your works. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into our rest. And it is apparent, saith the Lord, that he that hath labored and entered into his rest now has ceased from his wick trimming, pancake making, all the religious things that we've been doing in our religious society to find favor with God. Now I have two more scriptures that I have to bring to your attention in order to wind this lesson up. These are in Amos chapter 9, verse 11. Would you turn to it now? Amos 9, 11. I still hear the rustling in the mulberry trees, so I'll just wait for a while. You've had enough time. Look under A in the index. Quit fooling around. Go to the index right now and find it. Now I'm going to start reading in Amos chapter 9, and I'm going to start in verse 9, I think. That's page 946, and here I go. For lo, I will command and will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. And all the sinners of my people will die by the sword, which say that evil shall not overtake or prevent us. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the branches thereof. I will raise his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Heathen, Gentiles, Goim. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink of the wine thereof, and they also shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Now, what did you say? That's what? That's what they have done. We're speaking of the nation of Israel on the edge of the Mediterranean right now, natural Israel, though we could be speaking of spiritual Israel, which is spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 7, 38, 39. But for the moment, I'm speaking of the natural Israel on the edge of the Mediterranean. Some people call it Palestine, Israel, or the Jews, or whatever you want to call them there for now. I'm not teaching on British Israel at the moment. Nonetheless, I want you to see that God said, in a certain day, I'm going to restore them. How many believe these are the last days?
Amen.
How many believe that Israel has been restored? How many believe that the Jews have returned to their land, whether they're Ashkenazim or Sephardic? That's another question. I'm not going to argue that. How many believe the Jews have returned to their land? Let's see it. Now, if you believe that the Jews have returned to the land, how many have also, every once in a while, look in the paper to see that what God is doing with those people over there? Now, why do you look to see what God is doing with the people way over there? Because the Jews are God's time clock and a parallel for the sons of God. And what happens to the Jews happens to the sons of God in a parallel way on the same days. Spiritual Israel, natural Israel, and you watch it and see, and as time comes, you'll begin to see that when they're having trouble, you're having trouble. When things are going good for them, things are going good for you. And when they're having wars, you're having wars. And when they're having births, you're having births. And when they're having deaths, you're having death. And things are in quite a parallel, not only for natural Israel, but also the United States of America, for we are spiritual Israel. And this great nation and you and that nation over there are in a parallel. Now, what's he say here? I'll bring them, bring again the captivity of my people. At the same time, I'm going to restore the tabernacle of
David.
So the next time you read anything about Israel, start also to think in terms of the restoration of the tabernacle of David. For the tabernacle of David is not going to be restored in a natural way on natural Israel, but a spiritual interpretation upon spiritual Israel. Are you seeing this? Will bring forth that tabernacle of David among his people right here and right now. Are you seeing it? What year is this in Israel's maturity? April the 21st, they celebrated their 30th anniversary. For what's 30? When you get to be 30, you're ready for service and the priesthood, and ready to be manifest because you've gone through all of your maturing lessons, and now you're ready to work for God. They are now ready to be manifest as priests to the world, but so are you. And it's ready to, you should be ready now to start expecting God to rebuild and restore and repair the breaches of the tabernacle of David. He said that he would restore it, didn't he? He said when he would restore it, didn't he? But let's find out about this restoration from the book of Acts, the book of Acts chapter 15, and find out what happened concerning their theology back then at the beginning of this church. I'm in Acts chapter 15, starting with verse 12. Acts chapter 15, verse 12, page 1132. We won't take as long because Acts is always easier to find. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. Who? Now, which gospel did Paul receive? The gospel of the what? Pure grace. Now, which gospel had Paul, had Peter received? A mixture of... And Paul is now on trial. Did you know it? He's back in Jerusalem on trial because he's been talking to the... But didn't he say in Amos that in that day I'm going to reveal myself and even the heathen and the Goyim and the Gentiles are going to be called by my name?
Amen.
And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, I want to stop here and tell you that James was the first pope. Though he was the pope at Jerusalem, and Peter moved on to Rome later, the first pope was James, the brother of Jesus. This may be offensive to some Roman Catholics, but the Bible is clear that James was the boss. James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that's Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Now to us this is not so exciting, but to them this was real upsetting. To take out of them a people for his name. Well, what did we have this afternoon? What's the gospel going forth to do? To save all the Gentiles? What? To pull out, to choose, to select a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and build again the tabernacle of
David,
which is fallen down. I'll build again the ruins thereof and set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. In defense of what Paul and Barnabas were doing, James, the Pope, offered the words of the prophet Amos. Years before, in defense of what those drunken Christians... Now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Drunken Christians?
Yeah.
When were they drunk? What? When the Holy Spirit came, they looked and acted drunk. And Peter offered as their defense the words of the prophet Joel, which is only one page from where I was just reading in Amos. But now in defense of Barnabas and Paul, James offers the words of the prophet Amos and says, In these last days I will restore the tabernacle of... What are the last days? Well, in order to find the last days, let's ask Peter. For his prophecy said, Men and brethren, these men are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your shall actually see God. How's that, green shirt? and prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men dream dreams. And I still have visions. Now, if you didn't understand that, ask your mother when you get home. And upon my servants and my handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And there shall be signs in heaven above and earth beneath, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun will be dark and the moon turn to blood, stars fall from heaven. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every time any prophecy in the Bible is given of any kind of terror or horribleness or badness, every time God says, I'll save a remnant, and anyone who will call on my name will be in that remnant and will be saved. Hallelujah. That makes me feel religious, and I want to be a part of it. Now listen, if you want to study the book of Revelation, you can get scared to death. Or if you want to study the book of Revelation, you can say, man, that's for me. You can see it one way or the other. You can see the horribleness of everything that's going to happen, or you can see the victory on the other end. I, for myself, am a prophet of victory. I can't see the badness, because all I can see is the victory. And I read the last chapter, and we win. Now, this to me is my message, victory. But in order to have victory, it means you've been in a
battle.
Been in a fight. If you've been in a fight, you've been in a battle. But I don't see the fight, all I see is the victory. It's nothing but victory for me. So in this realm, I'm beginning to see that in the last days, it started. How long ago? When did the 2,000 years ago started the period of the last days, and the Pentecostal prophecy given by Peter out of the book of
Joel
continues until, according to Acts 2:19, there'll be signs in heaven above and earth beneath, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Now it says pillars in Joel, but it says vapors in the book of Acts. And we went through that with you, didn't we? And we know, has there ever been a day when there's been more signs in heaven above, more signs in earth beneath?
Yes.
You remember the signs, moonwalks and all this kind of stuff, and moleholes and all this kind of stuff, and earthquakes and those things. And then he says there'll be vapors or pillars of smoke. We looked up the word pillars of smoke and found out the word pillar is column or palm trees. So in the days of palm trees of smoke, when there'll be blood and fire and mushroom clouds of smoke, vapors and pillars, the same thing, the day of the atomic bomb, then it'll turn into a day of darkness. The sun will be dark and the moon turn to blood. Would you agree that you're in part of that right now?
Amen.
That age. And this age is still a part of the last days. The Pentecostal prophecy, and we are still living in the age of I'm looking for another word now. Pentecost. The grace is right, but I'm looking for the other thing now. The age of Pentecost, the prophecy of Pentecost still applies to us, and will quit applying after the sun becomes and the moon becomes and then everybody who calls on the name of the Lord in the sixth seal shall be saved. You know that's Revelation 6th seal. Now we're still in the time of Joel's prophecy, the last days. But there is a first of the last days and a last of the last days. Now at the first of the last days, in defense of the action of Paul and Barnabas, what prophecy was used to clear them? The restoration of the tabernacle of
David.
But society could not accept God's restoration of the tabernacle of
David.
It was too much. Thou seest, brother, how many Jews there are which believe, and they are zealous of the
law.
They don't care one bit about the tabernacle of
David.
They want to put you back under. And they're informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews that are all that are among the Gentiles to forsake the laws of Moses and not to circumcise. You remember all this? What did he say in Galatians 5, 1 and 2? If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you
nothing.
Them taken be it charged with of them. We have four men with a vow. You remember all this?
Yes.
And Paul left the tabernacle of
David.
And it crumbled back to the ground and reinstituted in the church. Paul became the weak apostle, and the strong one came up, whose name was Peter, who received the gospel of the mixture of
water.
He took that gospel to Rome and set up the Roman Catholic Church, which taught us for thousands of years to have works and
grace.
Praise God for what Jesus did, but it's what you do. Come on. Whereupon 459 years ago, Martin Luther said, hey, it's not by works, it's by
grace.
And he started to restore the tabernacle of
grace.
And we're still being in that time, the restoration of the tabernacle of
grace.
When it's now the grace message, not the works message. For it's not what we do, it's what he did. But in the last days, there's going to be an even more full or fuller revelation of the tabernacle of upon a bigger group. It's going to be worldwide, and it'll be at the time that we can look on the edge of the Mediterranean Sea and see a nation rising up, the nation of Israel. And at that time, the last of the last, are you hearing it? The last of the last will take place in whose lifetime? So we're looking now for the restoration of the when God reveals himself to his people. And those who want to can go all the way in and speak with him man to man, mouth to mouth, face to face, and I will meet you over the mercy seat. And all Israel shall be saved by
your mercy.
Now it doesn't say all Israel shall be saved by the cross. Come on, Bible students. It doesn't say all Israel are going to be saved by baptism in your denomination. That's kind of upsetting to some. All Israel shall be saved by your mercy. And in order to get this mercy, you're going to meet God at the mercy seat. Now in Exodus, Exodus chapter 34, we're going to find his name. Exodus chapter 34, verse 5. Exodus 34, 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now when Jacob was wrestling with the angel, what was the prize? What was the argument about? Declare unto me your
name.
Now, what would cause a man to wrestle an angel all night just to know his
name?
Jesus said, I have known the name of the Father, right? I have declared thy name. Some of us know about there's power in the name of
Jesus.
It has nothing to do with pronunciation. It has nothing to do with syllables. It has everything to do with the nature. For your name is your nature. Did you know that? The word Jesus is Savior. That's his nature, to save. My name, David, in the Hebrew is the beloved, the beloved, or the one after his heart. And so, I kind of like that name too.
And it sure is neat.
And we, not that our names nowadays are necessarily, but I kind of like to think along those lines. Now, the name of God is His nature. And if you want to know His name, I'm going to read it to you right now. The Lord passed by before Him and proclaimed. And this is what He proclaimed. Yahweh, Yahweh Elohim. The Lord thy God. What's the next word?
Merciful.
Gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. I'm going to stop here because this is the name of the Lord that David understood and knew. Now, the name of the Lord that Moses understood and knew was the next part, which I will not go into in detail, but the results of which ended up in stoning the people. For under Moses' law, they were guilty, and the only thing to do was to be stoned. Don't you remember all this? But when David met his God was a God of mercy. Have mercy upon me, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness. Forgive me. Give me another chance. And our God is the God of another chance. For ours is the restoration of the tabernacle of
David.
But at the same time that we have the tabernacle of David in Jerusalem, we have in Gibeon Zadok making pancakes, trimming wicks, and keeping the commandments, traditions, ordinances, statutes, judgments of the structured societies, and both are in operation in Zion today. You may choose this day whom you will serve. And you can choose this day which tabernacle to attend. Unfortunately, however, there are certain forms of our society frequented by our grandmas, upon which, if we should decide to leave, it would give grandma a heart attack. In which case, we are bound to stay with Zadok as long as grandma's alive. Were you hearing this or not? There are some of us bound by our structured society, families and friends and so forth, that cannot leave Zadok because of the social pressures of our structured society. Are you hearing it? How many know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. You just can't leave that form of society. Nonetheless, I got to warn you, get ready to leave and have your bags packed, because you're not going to find God while the first tabernacle yet standeth. You're going to find religious works, religious orders, religious structures, denominations, and all those kind of things, but that's not the presence of God. He moved on to Jerusalem, where David has Him in His own tent tabernacle, revealed to all the people, and everybody can come in to Him, circumcised or not. Now, I'd like to talk to you about the people in Harrisburg, those who attend our classes in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. In Harrisburg, those who attend all our Bible classes, all of the ladies and girls have been circumcised. For it's not circumcision of the flesh, It's circumcision of the heart. Come on, Colossians. And it's circumcision of the heart. That's how the girls got circumcised, in the heart. And the boys are circumcised in the heart. For this is the form of circumcision, which makes sense. Now, Moses warned them, and he said several times, even in the Old Testament, Moses' law, it's not circumcision of the flesh, it's circumcise your hearts. Circumcise your hearts. Remove from yourself the filthiness of the flesh and get rid of all this and circumcise your hearts. Now, the steps for this circumcision are given in the in our purple book, The Key to the Priesthood, and you can go on and take all these steps and enter into perfection if this turns you on and this is what you want. But the name of Yahweh Elohim, and there are those even around this part of the country who believe the pronunciation of Yahweh is an important factor to find favor with God. As far as I'm concerned, the pronunciation of Yahweh is great. I find no fault with it, but that's not where it is. It's in His nature. And the nature of His name is mercy, graciousness, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, temperance. This is our God. For my God is the God of another chance. For my God is David's God, not the God that the people learned under Moses. Nonetheless, Moses knew this God, but the Bible says Israel knew God by his acts, but Moses knew God by his ways. The acts of God are often referred to in the insurance report. Lightning, fire, tempest, tornado, hurricane, attributed to the acts of God. And Israel understands God by His acts. But Moses knows God by His ways. If you are Israel, you only know God by His acts. But if you are Moses or a prophet, you know God by His ways. The ways of God are sometimes to take us through the lightning, the thunder, and the storm. But that's not His purpose. It's only to run us through the constriction to bring us out on the other side to the kingdom of expansion. The kingdom of expansion is the kingdom of Ouranos in the Greek, which is the kingdom of heaven in the English. If you want the kingdom of heaven, then you want the kingdom of expanse. But in order to come into expansion, you first sometimes must come through constriction. For those of us who are making decisions, I must warn you, never decide to go into constriction on your own. When you make decisions about personal conduct, decisions about selling or buying, always make expansive decisions. God will put you through the constriction when He wants you under the pressures and the vice and the constriction. How many know that God can put the squeeze on us?
Amen.
Don't put the squeeze on yourself. Now, this is a little difficult to get this point across, but when you're making decisions, always make expansive decisions in harmony with His ways. And when He wants to plant you or constrict you, He has a way of doing it. Don't you decide to do it to yourself. Because you may plant yourself at the wrong season and end up with no fruit at all for that planting. Did you hear it? Okay. David's tabernacle was in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, all the singers and those that worship God were there before the tabernacle, singing and praising God in the beauty of holiness and before God. But Moses' tabernacle was in Gibeon. And Zadok the priest and his brethren the priests ministered before the tabernacle, doing the things of Moses, doing their religious experiences, and not finding favor with God at all, but just doing their religious thing over and over again, just like Grandpa had done it all his life. And now, I would like to pray for you that in your decision making during this next period of time, that you will know what you're deciding and be able to make a righteous decision in the ways of God, not the acts of God. Are you hearing this? Would you stand with me while we pray? Our Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for eyes that see and ears that hear. We trust you, Lord, that this lesson on the tabernacle of David will be life and light to each one of us. We pray that it will not bring anyone under condemnation, no matter where we are, nor in what capacity we serve. But we pray, Lord, that each one of us will realize and label those things that are around us and those things we are participating in, so that we might, with this labeling and understanding, not move according to the acts of God and the pressures of life, but move according to the ways of God into the kingdom of expansion, into the kingdom of Renos, where we will be in prosperity and abundance. We trust you, Lord, that these thoughts and these that are coming from this lesson will keep us out of the tabernacle that would lead us into death and bring us into the tabernacle that would lead us to life. And now we agree that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebar Bible School.